Wednesday, I was pressured.
By request.
Dave Marzullo, who runs pretty much our whole online presence here at WGN Radio, was confused as to what day it is. Now the pressure's back on me.
He was walking down the hall the opposite way of us, and he seemed lost, and without even asking, because I was worried about him, he said, I just don't know what day it is. But you cleared the problem up for somebody. Making listeners happy one at a time, Wendy. That's the key.
That is the key.
That's the key. There was a situation after the show yesterday that I don't think you were privy to. But Kevin's in on this to some extent. And, you know, Stephanie Menendez is the assistant program director here.
Yes. The candy queen.
Yeah, she has a lot of candy. She has in her office, you know the scene in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory where the kids go in and the candy store owner, Bill, explains that Wonka's got a new one, the Scrumdiddlyumptious Bar, and there's candy everywhere you look. That was shot in Stephanie's office.
But she's lost, like, over 50 pounds, and she's trying to fatten all of us up.
I don't think she has. I think she's just made everyone around her a lot bigger. So by comparison, she looks like she's dropped a bunch of weight, when in reality, we're all now Mack trucks, thanks to her.
I went in there yesterday to grab some peanut butter M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
She had crispy M&Ms, peanut butter M&Ms, regular M&Ms, peanut butter M&Ms.
She has more than Walgreens has. At the corner of M&M. So yesterday, after the show was over, you and I were in some pretty high-pressure meetings, right?
Mm-hmm.
That went on for a couple hours, and then it's time to leave, and I go downstairs with Stephanie, because I always forget how to get out of the building, so she has to walk me out.
It's harder when you have to leave from the seventh floor.
And, yeah, because you got to, yeah, there's a lot more...
maneuvering.
There's a lot of maneuvering and various levels involved. You know how it works. And as I'm about to leave... in the hallway downstairs at the Tribune Tower is either Salman Rushdie or a man who looks exactly like Salman Rushdie. So I say to her really quick, I go, hey, look who it is. And she looks over and she goes, it's Salman Rushdie. I go, I think so. So then our move is, do we approach him? Because if it's not him, we look like doofuses, which I'm not counting out. If it is him... that's perfect. I've always wanted to meet him. I like him. I admire him. So we spent the next 5 or 6 minutes circling him. This was ridiculous. I don't know what we had to gain from this, but seeing if it would look more like him from slightly behind him and to his left or slightly behind him and to his right. We took turns, like, because we didn't want to be too conspicuous. So I would circle him slowly and look over at him. And he was talking to two other girls. So I'm looking at him, and then I got to where we started, and then she took a counterclockwise circle around him, and then I went back to clockwise. We did that for a long time.
Was it him?
I don't know.
You have no conclusion?
I have no idea if it was him or not. And I feel it's ridiculous, because all it would have taken would be like a one-minute thing to just go, excuse me, are you Salman Rushdie?
Well, did you look to see if he was in town?
No, I put my time in. I guess that would have been the next thing to do.
Because he's calling Donald Trump a con man. And
but what's the city of origin where he's doing that?
Well, that's what I'm looking.
He was just in New York last week because I saw him on Bill Maher's show last week. And here, this would have been the question I would have asked him if it was him. Or even a guy who looked enough like him. Because actually, for the purpose of this question, it's worse to look like him than be him. And that is, there was a time where your life was threatened. There were people that wanted to off you.
He was in hiding for how
long?
Yeah,
for years. He couldn't come out. He was in hiding for years. So why now can you just walk around town? But that would be a better question for a guy who looked like Salman Rushdie than actually Salman Rushdie. And also, is it true that you swim upstream? That was my second question. Maybe it's better it wasn't him.
Maybe it's better you kept your mouth shut.
Yeah. Just kept circling him. That's what I'm going to do from now on. If I see somebody that I think might be somebody famous, a celebrity, instead of asking them if it's them, I'm just going to keep walking a circle around him for a long time. That's my new maneuver.
He was in Chicago on September 5th.
No, there would have been a flight out between now and the 5th.
Unless he's hanging around.
Maybe. Is he a big Cubs fan?
He has a new book out. I don't know if he's a Cubs fan.
It's called Why Do People Keep Circling Me? There's a picture of me in the corner, real small, waving. Hello.
He did some work with the CSO, some American String Quartet with Salman Rushdie, but that was in February.
Did he do some of his readings and then they played the violin behind him while he was reading?
I don't know that he plays an instrument, so he joins the American String Quartet for the premiere of a suite inspired by his new novel, The Enchantress of Florence.
Which was your nickname for a while.
I thought Florence made me sound old.
Yeah, that part did. They had to revamp that.
I got no sightings of him.
Is there an app? I don't know if there's an app like this. You know how if you lose your keys, it'll tell you where your keys are? Is there also one for Salman Rushdie?
There should be.
No, because that would have assisted and abetted those people that were trying to hunt them down. So I hope there isn't an app like that.
I think you should have at least just said something. Come on. You have an inquisitive nature.
I am inquisitive. But you should also know this. In the past, this has worked for me and against me. One time when I was doing stand-up at Catch a Rising Star here in Chicago, I was in the hallway of the hotel, and I looked over, and I thought to myself, that guy might be Kurt Vonnegut, another author that I greatly admire.
What is you with these appearances of great authors?
I don't know. It's just a fun thing to do. It's like Where's Waldo, but on a more literary scale. I like to find famous authors in giant crowds. If you say to me, like if we were at Grant Park and you said to me, Bill, find Amy Tan, she's hidden somewhere among the crowd, I'd have a fun hour and a half. I'd look around and go, I think that might be her. So I approached him and said, excuse me, are you Kurt Vonnegut? To which he replied, as a matter of fact, I am. How did he word it? Are you friend or foe or something like that? And I said, oh, a friend, I love your stuff. And I sat down, I talked to him for 20 minutes. It was magical. It was fantastic. But I've also had instances where I thought I saw somebody and I talked to them for a minute or two, only to discover it's not them at all.
Well, you get that out right away. You ask them. I thought, honestly, I saw Ariel Winters yesterday from Modern Family.
Yeah.
Walking down Michigan Avenue in sweats, but a nice top, really nice shoes, and a really expensive Louis Vuitton bag.
Could have been her.
But I'm looking, and...
Did you do what professionals do, which is walk around in a circle around her for 15 minutes?
I did.
That's
follow her for a second, because I was just like, is that her? Like, please just turn around.
Yeah.
So then I thought...
Saw her from the back at that point?
I saw her approach and then walk past me, and I thought about saying, hey, you dropped something!
So Ariel Winter from TV's Modern Family. I would throw that part in.
No, I would just say, you know, hey, you dropped something. And then if she turned around, it really truly looked like her, 100%.
Then why not? Then take that chance. But I didn't take the
chance. Because she was walking very quickly. You got a guy sitting duck.
He was just sitting there.
Or a salmon.
Right. He was spawning. That's what salmon do this time of year. One time in a restaurant, Terry and I look over. And it's a name that nobody will know, but it's a guy that he's a Chicago actor, and both Terry and I know him. And we look over at a table, and we see him sitting there with his family. So we say, well, let's go say hi. So both she and I get off our table, and we walk across the restaurant. We just stand there at the table and then realize at the exact same second, this isn't the guy at all. And we're just standing there at his table, both of us. And then I go... Hi, we're from another table. We're sitting over there. Just wanted to see how your chicken is. And he goes, it's pretty good. And he goes, all right. And then we leave. We were just concerned citizens. What's wrong with that? In a day and age where nobody cares about anybody else, we prove that theory is wrong.
Well, Ariel Winters is in a new film, Mr. Peabody and Sherman, that is out March 7th.
And who is she playing that?
I don't know, but this was in the Chicago Tribune, so I wonder if she was in town.
She might have been here. I know she and Salman Rushdie have a thing where if one of them is in a city, the other one just happens to be in that same city. They've been doing this for years.
I can't believe you didn't say anything. He was right there.
I know. I feel... And, you know, Stephanie, one of our bosses...
She'll talk to anyone.
She will talk to anybody. That's why I'm thinking, well, at some point, she's going to go over and introduce herself, and I'll just stand behind. And if it's him, great. And if it's not, I'll pretend I don't know Stephanie. I'll pretend I'm security, and I'll whisk her away. I'll go, I'm sorry, guy who looks so much like Salman Rushdie. This woman has done this in the past. And then I move her off to the side. But shouldn't, now this is what made me wonder. Like, we have a very good team of security guards here at the Tribune Tower. Wouldn't they be alerted that a guy of his stature was in the building?
No, if he doesn't have any bodyguards and he's just in Chicago and looks at this gorgeous Tribune Tower and walks in to take a peek, there's a lot of people that do that.
But
I don't know if a lot of people would recognize him.
Oh, maybe. He has a very distinct look, though.
Yes.
He looks like himself and this other guy who looks like him. But I got the feeling, because also in the Tribune Tower, aside from the Tribune Empire, is CNN. And I thought to myself, maybe he's here shooting something for CNN. That's possible. There have been other dignitaries who have floated through the building just to, you know, do 15 minutes on CNN, and then they're gone. So maybe he was doing that.
Well, I can't find any information for Salman Rushdie or Ariel Winter's being in Chicago.
No. Maybe they're working on a play together. Maybe they're going to be
Mr. Peabody and Sherman. Maybe he's Mr. Peabody.
Oh, maybe. Wouldn't you go to see a production of They're Playing Our Song with Salman Rushdie and Ariel Winter?
Oh, yes, they're playing our song.
La, 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 la. I would love to see them in that. I hope that's the case. I hope they're putting together a Broadway musical that we could all enjoy.
Did you know there was a movie, Mr. Peabody and Sherman?
There was a couple years ago.
Oh,
but
maybe this is old news.
It didn't
then.
Do well.
Well, why would they make another one?
I don't think they would make another one based on the lack of performance from the first one.
Was it live action? Or was it?
No. Oh. It was like computer generated. I found it to be empty. Much like myself.
Yeah, it was out in 2014, so this is an old story I'm reading.
Well, then she's not in town at all.
Do you know that there's something that I think will shock you, because it shocked me, but you're Bill Leff, so maybe it wouldn't. Do you know they're still making Scooby-Doo movies?
They are? For not for the theater, but like for direct-to-DVD
or something? I guess direct-to-DVD, because Dylan is on a Scooby-Doo kick, and we upgraded our Netflix. So we can, in addition to streaming, you can get DVDs once again, how it used to be.
Yeah.
And he very hurriedly watched the new Scooby-Doo movie, which came out like within the last several months or last year for sure.
Does anyone we know do the voices now?
I don't know.
Everyone from the original, I think everyone but one person is no longer alive.
Well, I don't know. Casey Kasem gave up doing
shaggy.
It a while ago, right?
Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah.
So, but I didn't know that they were still making Scooby-Doo movies. Haven't they run out of ideas?
Even when Scooby-Doo was in its heyday, though, they had run out of ideas, right?
Yes.
It was old man Marshall. Who would have thought it was you? Well, the art dealer from the old art gallery.
Yeah, there are new Scooby-Doo movies. Which...
So that means Scooby-Doo is going on 45 years, right? I told you the story about my brother with Scooby-Doo, right?
No, tell us.
My brother Adam and I would watch Scooby-Doo. That was the highlight of our Saturday mornings, was watching Scooby-Doo. And then one day, he doesn't want to watch it anymore. So I let it go for a week, and then 2 weeks, and then 3 weeks.
Were you watching it alone?
Yeah. And he'd watch the other cartoons. We'd watch everything else together, but when Scooby-Doo would come on, he'd just leave. He was done. So then I said to him after about 3 weeks, are you done with Scooby-Doo? He goes, yeah, I'm never going to watch Scooby-Doo again. And I said, why? And he said, because once they added Scrappy-Doo, the show got fakey. He was fine with everything else that happened on Scooby-Doo, but the addition of Scrappy-Doo made him realize that the whole show was a sham.
I know it sounds funny because it got fakey, and it was fakey because it was a cartoon.
It was a dog that could talk just enough and find crimes based on ghosts every week, but he would, no, that could happen. Wait, that little dog? This is bogus. I'm not watching this anymore.
I know they did that in the Brady Bunch and the Partridge Family and every other show on Earth, when all of a sudden they have to bring a Modern Family,
a new cute character.
Joe.
Yep.
But why do they need to do it in a cartoon world?
I don't know.
See, I agree with Adam.
That's when it got fakey. Really?
Yeah.
Wasn't there also a character on the show for a while named Scrappy Dumb? Wasn't there? I seem to remember there was a Scooby-Doo clone on there, not like Scrappy-Doo, but like the same size of Scooby-Doo, but a slightly bluish tint.
You're thinking of Blue's Clues.
Bill's right. I mean,
there was, right?
What?
Yeah.
Scrappy Dum.
Scooby-Dum, actually.
Scooby-Dum?
Scooby-Dum.
Scooby-Dum, right.
Yeah, but he's a little blue, and yeah, he's about the size of your standard Scooby.
Yeah. And his whole thing was, like, when they would say things to him, he didn't know what they were talking about. Right? He was dumb.
I could play the very best of Scooby-Dum.
Is there a very best?
Oh, yeah. There's a compilation reel.
Do just a couple of seconds. I want to hear him. We'll edit this part out. This won't be...
There's a commercial.
Oh, there is? Oh, okay. Is it for that new musical with Salman Rushdie and Ariel Winter? They're playing our song?
Scooby-Doo and Kiss were together?
Oh, yeah, Wendy. Yeah. This is Scooby-Dum.
Goofy called. He wants his act back.
I know. Listen to the laugh track in this. People are laughing. Somebody got paid to write that. I love that. Somebody collected a paycheck because they wrote Scooby, Scooby Dum, Scooby Dum. That's hysterical.
There's a Scooby Doo WrestleMania movie.
There is?
Yeah.
Where would I be able to see this?
Netflix, I guess. You can. Dylan will return it, and you can order it.
I'm in.
What kind of a breed was Scooby Doo?
Oh, boy, I don't know the answer to that.
Kevin?
I'm going to say he's a mutt of some sort.
He was a Great Dane.
Oh,
really big like that.
Yeah.
His real name is Scoobert Doo.
Oh, it's Scooby for short.
And Shaggy's last name. And if you don't know this, I've lost everything. Any ounce of respect.
Shaggy's last name. It's something rich sounding, isn't it? It's something that sounds like there's some wealth behind it.
No.
No?
Sounds like he could be a quarterback.
Brett Favre.
Same team.
Really?
Shaggy.
Rogers.
Yep.
Isn't really? Shaggy Rogers?
I just guessed.
I didn't know that. Kevin, you just won a prize.
What do I get?
Tickets to see they're playing our song with Salman Rushdie and Ariel Winter playing at the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse. All right, we'll take a quick break. Domini Pongo joins us. Very fortunate man doing news for us today. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
What a great job.
Domini? Oh, yeah, no argument from me.
Thank you.
Superior job. It makes our job harder now because you've raised the bar.
We usually have no bar.
Nope. We're barless.
No hose bar.
No. None. None.
You guys are too kind.
Now, I know how serious this is, but I want to get your take on this. There's a guy that was walking around Seattle, and on his arm, he wore an armband with a swastika on it, and then some guy comes up and just rails on the guy. He sees a guy wearing a swastika. He goes, you're not doing that in my city. Thanks, but no thanks. And he just starts popping him. He's punching him. So here's the question. Obviously, that's not the right way to handle it. But let's say, hypothetically, you were in Chicago. You're walking down a street or you're on a CTA bus or a metro train or something. And there's a guy wearing a swastika. Do you do anything at all? What do you do?
You know, that's a weird situation because obviously they're trying to get a reaction and a rise out of someone by wearing it.
Right.
So I think ignoring them
is the best bet.
Is going to bother them more.
Yeah.
I think you said that perfectly. Yeah. You're crying for attention.
The worst thing
you could do to someone crying for attention is ignore them.
Right.
And, and as much as we hate it, it's free speech. I hate it, but it's free speech, and it's the American way to let him do his thing as long as he doesn't physically harm you.
I know that you weren't alive during this, but there was a time, Skokie is a northern suburb that has a very high Jewish community, a lot of Jewish people living in Skokie. So they decide they're going to do a Nazi march in Skokie, and it became this huge thing of whether or not you grant the Nazis the right to have a march in Skokie, knowing that it's going to inflame the community.
Right.
And they ended up allowing it, you know, but that was a huge, huge debate whether or not you give them the right, because of free speech. You go, if you say free speech for one, you got to say free speech for all. We don't agree with their free speech, but if it's free speech, it's free speech.
That's true. I think the same of Klan rallies. I think the only caveat there, though, is that these are organizations that have enacted violence,
mm-hmm.
specifically against several groups of people in a certain way. So, you know, they have the option, or I guess the right to exercise free speech,
mm-hmm.
But you're asking for an organization that has actually physically killed people in American history to exercise that free speech, right? So at that point, the city has to decide what they stand for if this is an organization that has really, in real life, committed acts of violence against people. So it's very tricky.
Everybody has a right to free speech. I understand that. But I don't know if they have a right to get permission to gather. I mean...
Well, there's always this kind of codicil to the rule where they say, if by granting you this right to either meet or march, have a parade, whatever you want to do, a demonstration, if it's in the public's not best interest, but if it endangers the public, we can pull that right. You know,
right,
which is
right.
A good kind of safety catch.
Yeah, but then it's too late, in my opinion.
And that I agree with
if
that.
If it escalates,
and that's why if. You know, it's almost like a lose-lose or a win-win, however you want to look at it. Because if you allow them to do it, you're allowing them to exercise their free speech, but you're also allowing an organization with the history of committing just atrocious acts of violence against people to maybe do that again.
Right.
Because you can go to the 60s, the 50s, you can go to the Civil War era, World War II era. You can really point at times in history of this, and more recently, Charlottesville, you can point at times when this happened. So they have a high propensity to create this type of violence. Why risk
it? Sure.
So this guy that has
the armband?
Yeah.
Swastika armband. Here's the story. It says a man wearing a swastika armband was punched to the ground in downtown Seattle after activists spread his photo across Twitter. The incident was caught on camera and uploaded online on Sunday. The Seattle Police Department said that they received reports of the man wearing a swastika armband and instigating fights late on Sunday afternoon. When officers arrived on the scene, however, they found him on the ground. The man removed his armband and left without telling police what had happened.
He was instigating the fights?
Well, yeah, they're saying originally this guy with the armband was trying to cause somebody.
Yeah.
Hours before, an anti-fascist Twitter account had shared a photo of a man riding the bus in Seattle with a Nazi armband on his right arm. Nazi blankhead on the D line headed toward downtown Seattle is what the submitter said. They were harassing a black man on the bus, the account wrote, indicating that the photo had been submitted by a third party. The photo spread quickly around anti-fascist social media accounts. Anti-fascists, or Antifa, as some have called them, are a loosely organized group of activists who seek to fight racism, sexism, and other oppressive forces.
All right, so the guy's wearing the armband. Again, what would you do? What would you do, Bill?
You know, I want to say I'd be brave enough to ask him what his motives were, but why?
What are you going to get out of it?
Yeah.
He's going to flip you off and just go, because I want to.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You've seen people walking down the street with offensive T-shirts. I'm hard to offend. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there are some that, like, really? That's all I can say to them.
Right.
But I don't know that I ever say it right to their face. Like, when they walk by, I'll go, really, guy? But I don't approach them and go, that's a stupid shirt. That offends me.
That's true. And we're, like, in the age of spin. I think in the age of spin, you have to make sure whatever action you take, that you are unequivocally in the right. Because people will rationalize either side of the issue. So if this guy has on this Nazi armband, he better have swung on you first.
Yeah.
Because people, you know, it's too much.
But you can see where a guy would say that because of what that symbol represents, even though violence isn't the answer and, you know, you're fighting violence with violence, I could see where somebody would get steamed enough to say, people gave their lives to fight against the symbol that you're proudly demonstrating.
Yeah, jerk. You have to end it with jerk.
Wendy and I had this discussion a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember exactly what happened, but somebody said something to Trump somewhere. And I said, given the same situation, if I was walking down, like most days I walk right through the grounds of Trump Tower.
Oh, yeah.
And I say to myself, what if he was in this meeting room and he just walked out and there's him and there's me? Would I say something to him? And I would.
What, though?
What would you say?
Remember at the time I said, you, sir, have made life very, very difficult for many of us. You shocked us all.
And then he's going to go, loser. Quit talking, loser.
Right.
I think I'd say the opposite.
Would you?
As a news guy, you've made my life very easy.
Oh, it has been.
That's true.
Yeah.
All you have to do is tweet, and I'm my day flies by.
But I'd be mad at myself in his case if I didn't say something because, you know, what does he care, really?
He does care, though.
He does care. Yeah, a ton, yeah.
If somebody, I mean, if he's walking by and you see him and you start going, you know, I got to tell you a few things. He could just blow you off.
Right.
But he seems like the type of person who would almost want to hear
approval.
It. Yeah, yeah, just to then put you, come back with some snippy remark and then tweet about it. Met some loser on the streets of Chicago.
But wouldn't you feel like you got cheated out of a golden moment if you walked by, if he was there and you were there and you didn't say something to him?
I don't know what I'd say to him. I would just go, I don't even know.
I think in some regard too, as an American citizen, you have, you almost have an obligation to talk to your public official when
right.
you see them. To
we
let them
pay
know.
His salary.
Yes, just because, you know, whether it be positive, constructive, et cetera, because
yeah.
we do so on social media, right? Like
yeah.
people tweet at Trump all the time, all types of crazy things. If you see him in person, he should know what the American people, the people he serves, feel about some of his policies
right.
or, you know, the way.
You're not going to have a conversation started, though. I have to think about that because there is a chance we can see it. I think Donald Trump is going, is it to Iowa or Indiana sometime soon? What if he's, you know, checking on his tower? I got to be ready to say something like, you're a piece of work.
There was a day, now he had not been elected yet, but they had narrowed down the field to, I think, just he and Ted Cruz at that point. I'm trying to remember if
he
anyone else
porn.
Was in it. Yeah, that's what I hear. he's a big fan of porn. Yeah, I've heard that about Ted Cruz. So I'm going from Marina Tower. You know, that's where Spin is, the ping pong place.
Yeah.
So I played there, and then I'm coming back here, and I'm going on that part underneath where you're kind of under Trump Tower, and they're making way for his limousine. Right, they're not letting people walk the normal walkway. You have to walk around because his limousine. He's in Chicago, so I say to myself, well, and at that point I didn't think he was going to be president, so it wasn't really an issue. But I thought, oh, this might be weird. He might be here, and I'll be here, and I'll go. I wish you weren't running for president because you're not going to win. But if you do, boy, what hell will we have to pay? And it's in the back of my head. Will I say that if I see him? But it didn't. It ended up I didn't see him, so it wasn't.
But I wonder if you. I know you have these thoughts. But he's not going to just stop and talk to you. So it's like whatever you say has to be quick and...
And it wouldn't just be him and me. It would be... There'd be Secret Service people on my side.
Right.
I always have, I always have
no,
Secret Service
people.
No, you have
Secret Squirrel people.
Right. That's the difference. They go, there's a squirrel with an aviator hat. Is Bill Leffenthal? Yeah, he's here. So I would feel like with most people, because, you know, I just told you that Salman Rushdie story. I'm like, I'm not going to talk to this guy. It might not be him. But with Donald Trump, I'd feel like, oh, man, my one chance to tell him that I really wish he wasn't the president, and I let it fly by.
What is the best way to say something to the president? Someone, a president you're unhappy with that feels productive, right?
I would use the word sir, because
it softens
the blow. Sir, you're a nightmare. And then dot, 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 whatever else I want to throw in.
But that would be a better thing to say, because either he would go, wait, 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 come back. Why am I in that? Why? Let me talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least you get your words out there and show your disapproval.
Right.
If you go, you know, sir, you're not going to get your whole soliloquy out.
Yeah.
What if you primed it with something kind of innocuous, like,
your zipper's unzipped.
Yeah, your zipper's unzipped. and boy, that small hands thing couldn't be more accurate. Would you say, I'm just curious.
Like a sandwich compliment method, like
right.
compliment.
Then a slam, then another compliment,
then another
slam.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the Subway sandwich theory. I would say, just curious, did you think you'd be president? Because you are. Did you think you would be? And just see what kind of a direction it took, maybe.
That's a good opening line.
Right?
A good icebreaker with Donald Trump.
An icebreaker. And then all rules are off.
I feel like we're priming for an interview with the president. I think we've got the president coming to Bill and Wendy's soon.
Kevin's trying his best to line him up.
Let's make
okay.
it happen.
So what would you do? Would you want to have him on the show?
Boy, that's interesting. Yes, because I wouldn't go softball on him. Would you? Like if they said...
I would not talk. I would turn my mic off and let you handle it. Because I just... wouldn't even know where to begin with him.
You know how in the past, though, Wendy and I have been offered guests that I've not wanted on because I don't either agree with their politics or I think that they've they've somehow backed in a side door to get famous. Like Cato Kaelin, during the O.J. Simpson trial, we had Cato Kaelin on, and I didn't want him on because I thought, this guy's famous because his friend killed his friend's wife. Right. That's no reason to be famous, you know?
Right.
So with Trump, it's a weird call. Honestly, if they said to Kevin, Trump's available tomorrow, you got 10 minutes with him, I would say yes.
Well, yeah, I would too, because I would like to see how it would go.
Yeah.
But we would have no idea.
Right.
Because you don't want to be a jerk. You don't want to disrespect someone you've invited on your show, but you also want to say, you know, I'm kind of displeased with how everything's going.
Yeah, right.
It's a very fine line to walk. I think it was Kimmel who rustled his hair. Was that? You can find comedy.
It was Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And he got the Jimmys. And
people were busting him because he was goofing with them, but his show is not political.
Right.
Exactly. Right. So, and I mean, somebody like, you can find common ground with people relatively.
You'd find something.
You'd find something.
Right.
And mind you, long before this political run, he was a likable guy to many.
I never liked him.
Never liked him. I've read a few of his books. I liked him. Hip hop culture really embraced Donald Trump. He's a good friend of Russell Simmons, who I also studied.
But the difference between that Donald Trump and the Donald Trump who is the most important man on the planet because he's the president of the United States, there's a huge chasm between those. We had him on when I was at LS. He was a guest and he was promoting Celebrity Apprentice, right? It wasn't in studio, it was over the phone. So he says at the very top of the interview, I don't remember what question led to this, but he said, I never thought I would have the number one show on television. I never thought. And then he said two or three things in a row, none of which were close to true. Cause I'm looking online going, there's not a single demographic by which Celebrity Apprentice is number one. Even in its own time slot, there was some other show beating it. But in his mind.
Did you say anything?
Cause I'm like, I gotta, before I call him out on this. And he was only, he was Celebrity Apprentice's Donald Trump. He wasn't the United States of America's Donald Trump. But I'm like, I'm going, no, not in that category, not in that category. No, he's not. He's like the number 83rd show on television, not number one.
Right. And it foreshadowed the way he'd govern. And just to temper my other comments just previously really quickly, too, that was before, even as I talk about people, him being relatively likable, that was people who knew very little about him.
Sure.
I was a toddler doing the Central Park Five thing.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so there were signs or even lawsuits where he was accused of discriminating against tenants of color in his building.
Well, his dad was infamous for that. His dad, Fred Trump, was so famous for that.
Absolutely. So as you dig deeper into a person like that, you can see what type of leader they'll later become. So
his dad was one of the people they have this is sort of primarily a New York thing, but it's bled into other parts of the country. They have buildings that would be condos anywhere else, but they're called co-ops. And what happens there is the tenants of the building get to vote on whether or not you're allowed in the building. And in most buildings, it has to be unanimous, right? Mm. So this was a system devised not by Fred Trump, but people of like mind, where they'd say, this will keep out minorities. If instead of them just saying, I can afford the apartment, I'm going to buy the apartment, the people who live there have the right to say, oh, no, not so fast. It's our building. You can't.
Wow.
And that still goes on today.
Absolutely, it does. Absolutely, it does.
But when Donald Trump was like on your show, he's a TV star. He's kind of a blowhard. We all kind of know what we're getting. And it's like, oh, he's that crazy uncle boy.
Yeah.
But everything changes when he becomes president of the United States.
I think we're inherently making a great point about what racism really is. I guess bigoted ideas or, you know, those policies like what Fred Trump had. It's really the power to exert your power over other people. Right. So, I think it's innocuous when he's the apprentice guy, but it becomes a lot more serious when you think about him actually affecting the way you live. I even think about that with Donald Sterling, right? We're having a conversation way back about, you know, what does it matter if he's in a private conversation saying these troubling comments about people of color, where he also owns several buildings, and that philosophy, you know, it rears its ugly head when it comes to how he runs his businesses. And when we really think about systemic oppression, what that looks like, that's why these views that people have become relevant, because they can actually exert that on people.
Without a doubt. Are you of the same belief? I'm by far not the first person to say this, but many people have said that even though everybody who voted for Donald Trump is not a believer in racism, what it did was it made people who were racist say, it's okay now, I can admit to being racist. Do you agree with that?
I agree with that. I believe that he emboldened the David Dukes of the Red Cube because he said that. But then I also believe that those who voted for Trump, not everyone who voted for Trump is racist by far.
Right.
But you also have a balancing scale where you have the privilege to not pay attention to that. Right. Just as a male, I have the privilege to say, you know what? I don't like this guy's position on abortion. But mm-hmm. as a male, I like his trade policy. So I'll vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I have the option to support a candidate who may be injurious to other types mm-hmm. of people. So it revealed where people's priorities lie. Mm-hmm. So I may like what Trump has to say about NAFTA, hate what he has to say about racism, but I'm willing to deal with that because NAFTA is very important.
Yeah, sure.
You have to pick your battles.
You have to pick your battles. And the hierarchy is kind of troubling when you think about some of the people voted for Trump. So they're not racist, but also racism is probably lower on the totem pole than it would be on, say, mine. You know?
What do you make of, he just did this speech a couple of weeks ago where he had an African-American man positioned directly behind him who was very fervent on everything he said. Do you feel like that was a weird situation for that guy to be in?
I didn't see that particular interview, but there's always a with political candidates, you can buy anyone's opinion.
Yeah, I guess so.
X, Y, Z. Now, I don't know that specific situation, but it's all about optics. You know, that there's always someone like I remember he was going around the country touting those sisters who were like caricatures of themselves.
Yeah.
The question is, are they representative of the people in that particular sphere, that demographic or
right.
in that thought, you know? So,
but it's a political game that's gone on forever is you put behind you people that represent as many different kinds of ethnicities and age groups and everything.
Look
as if
Bill,
to say,
Bill's
like,
with
everybody
me.
Likes me.
Guys in hats love Dumb and Tea.
Yeah. It makes sense. It makes perfect sense. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. I always have a good time with
of
you guys.
Course.
Thanks for allowing me to hang
course,
out with you guys.
Of course, Dumb and Tea. Anytime you like. We'll take a quick break. We'll close things off in just a minute or two. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Kid in that Cars for Kids commercial who sounds so adorable.
Yes.
I'm really curious to know how old that kid is now.
Oh, that's a good question.
I really am. I'm a big fan.
Wendy, what I would like to do is get today's hottest bands and have them each record a version of Cars for Kids. I think that would sell like crazy.
We've had Kathy Richardson up on the show several times. She still performs live. She's with Starship or Airplane, one of the two of them. She was on Broadway doing Janis Joplin. And before, when she used to tour, she used to do You Gotta See Jack.
Yeah,
Jack Phelan.
That was her.
She would just do it live at a show. She would do a commercial set.
Wouldn't you love to hear Arcade Fire's version of Cars for Kids?
Oh, my God. That would be so good.
It would be
good.
So moody and haunting. Or Adele, how would she handle it?
She'd be great.
We're working on it. I'm renting studio time. All right, that's it, everybody. That's today's show. Hope you enjoyed it. Tomorrow, another show, the Thursday version of Bill and Wendy. Make sure you're here for that. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.